One of the fundamental debates in today's liturgy wars is the idea of reverence. What makes a mass reverent? Is it the language, the orientation, the music, the architecture, the rubrics, the attitude, or something else? We're going to talk about that today on Crisis Point. Hello, I'm Eric Sammons, your host, the editor-in-chief of Crisis Magazine. Before I get started, I want to encourage everybody to smash that like button. Yes, I am too old to say that. And to subscribe, but don't notify. Also follow us on social media at Crisis Mag. Okay, so what I want to talk about today is the idea of reverence in the liturgy, reverence in the Mass specifically. Now, I think most of us know about the liturgy wars in the Catholic Church. Most of us are probably get tired of them at times. We just want to worship God. We don't really want to fight about how we do it. We argue over a lot of the details about the liturgy, about whether or not you should have altar girls, how you receive communion, the altar rail, the music that's sung, the building that Mass is set in, the prayers that are said, the orientation of the priest, if he's facing towards the people or towards the altar. The list could go on and on. And often we have arguments about each of those. Now, I want to be one to say that, although I too get tired of the liturgy wars at times, it is something we said that the liturgy is the most important thing that we do as Catholics. And the sacrifice of the Holy Eucharist, that is the source and summit of our Catholic faith. And so it is important. And so therefore, we are going to have some disagreements about it. So I'm not saying that we should not have that. But I will say that I've noticed that often the debate comes down to, is the Mass reverent? And I'll say that this was me for a long time, that I just simply wanted a reverent Mass to go to. I did not care if it was Novus Ordo or traditional Latin Mass or whatever. I just wanted a reverent Mass. Particularly, I wanted a reverent Mass for my kids to go to because I wanted them to understand the concept of reverence, particularly reverence towards God. And so I remember when I attended Novus Ordo Parish for the first 15 years that I was Catholic, and then I moved to an area, a new state, and I was looking for parishes around, and I was like, okay, I just want basic reverence at the parish I go to. And I couldn't find it anywhere. And so I ended up going to the traditional Latin Mass. I'd gone to Telem a few times before that, but I wasn't really sold on anything like that. But I knew at least I'd get reverence there. I get a whole lot more, but at least I get reverence. Now, I want to say that reverence isn't the only standard that we have for Mass. It was kind of my baseline standard for me as a Catholic. And I think a lot of Catholics, it's the baseline standard of, I want Mass to at least be reverent. Because we know if it's irreverent, then there's a problem that we're not honoring God, we're not glorifying God in our worship. So we want it to be reverent. So in this podcast, I'm just talking about reverence in the liturgy. And I know there are other factors that are important in how the Mass is celebrated. It's not just about reverence, but reverence is a requirement. I mean, that's like a minimum baseline of is reverence. And then from there, we can talk about other things. But let's just talk about reverence. Now, one thing that's important to note is that if you look at the liturgical movement in the Catholic Church in the 20th century that led to the changes to the liturgy in the 1960s that followed Vatican II, but really the liturgical movement predates Vatican II, but it really came into its own in the 1960s and after Vatican II, what you'll find is reverence is actually not something they emphasized, that the leaders of the liturgical movement did not emphasize the idea of reverence. They emphasized the idea of participation, the idea of understanding. Really, their main focus was they felt like the people, the lay people, weren't involved enough in the liturgy, and so they weren't able to participate in it. And so there wasn't really a question of reverence. Now, it could be they just assumed reverence. I mean, taking the best possible interpretation of their words and their actions, the leaders of the liturgical movement of the 20th century, it's possible they were like, well, of course we're going to have reverence. We don't have to talk about that because we know we have that. We just want a reverent Mass that also allows more participation, also allows the people to understand it better, things that they called for. But there was definitely not a push a push for reverence, the idea that he need to make sure the Mass is reverent. And you see that in the changes that were made in the Mass, in the liturgy, that there's really not an emphasis on reverence. And I think that's something that is important to remember. I'm very happy to say, though, that in recent years, I would say last decade or two, a couple decades, there has been an increase in a desire from faithful Catholics to have reverence in their Masses. I mean, your average Catholic who is faithful wants his Mass to be reverent. He might not care about the details about if it's Novus Ordo or if it's a TLM or whatever. He's just like, give me reverence. Give me that, as at least give me that, and I'll be happy. So I'm glad to see that there is this desire. And I think it's because of the extreme silly season you saw in the 1970s and 80s with all the experimentation that happened with the Mass, that faithful Catholic, we know this is wrong. We're not liturgical experts. We don't know everything about how this should be done, but we know this is crazy, that Mass, our worship of God, should not include the craziness. Now, that doesn't mean there's not still craziness. You still see online, sometimes they'll post videos from like the Archdiocese of Chicago or somewhere like that with crazy liturgical dancers or just in some insane stuff. But I think it's true that most faithful Catholics, no matter what Mass they attend, they want it to be reverent. Now, so the question, of course, is what makes a Mass reverent? Well, I think we first have to define what we mean by reverence. I think that's an important point to make, is what do we mean by reverence? Now, a standard definition of reverence is a feeling or attitude of deep respect tinged with awe or veneration. That's a good definition as far as it goes. It's not specific to Catholicism, because reverence isn't specific to Catholicism. Reverence isn't even specific to the liturgy. We can have reverence for a number of things. Something can be reverent and idolatrous. So, for example, like Buddhist liturgy worship, or some pagan worship, or Muslim worship, something like that. It's idolatrous, but it can be reverent because it can show deep respect tinged with awe and veneration. Now, it's directed towards the wrong thing. You could also argue that there's certain types of Catholic liturgies, Masses, and I'm talking about those that are more geared towards the charismatic praise and worship type. I talked about this a few podcasts ago. You can listen to that sometime. But I do think when you can have Masses that are essentially reverent, in that they are encouraging an attitude of deep respect tinged with awe and a veneration, but they can become very self-centered. They're basically leading you towards a respect for your own feelings. How do I feel worshiping God right now? That's what it's all directed towards. So again, reverence isn't everything in a liturgy, but it is essential that you have at least that. Because if it's irreverent, then it's not proper worship of God. And that's an important point to remember too. So if we know what reverence is, that it's a feeling or attitude of deep respect tinged with awe, veneration. What is Mass? What's the purpose of Mass? And that is the worship and glorification of Almighty God. It's not a time to get together socially. It's not a time to convert people to the faith, to evangelize. It's not a time. It's not a study session. It's not a class. It is a time to worship and glorify God Almighty. That's the purpose, to give him praise, worship, adoration to the Almighty Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to the triune God. And so you have to have reverence to have that. Now, another thing about reverence is, before we get into some specifics of how this works, reverence also, it can be in the eye of the beholder. Now, I don't want to say it's completely 100% subjective, but I will say it is impacted culturally. Cultures do impact how people perceive something as being reverent or not reverent. Perfect example in the Catholic Church is the difference between the Eastern Divine liturgies and the Western, let's say the traditional Latin Mass. I don't think anybody would argue that either of those two liturgies celebrated properly are not reverent. And there are obviously some similarities between them, but they're not identical. And how they do things is not identical. In a traditional Latin Mass, there's a much greater emphasis on silence, on solemnity, on quiet. Whereas in the Eastern Divine Liturgy, it's, I don't know what the right word is, maybe more robust. it's got more to it as far as how they worship God, but it's very reverent. Obviously, it's reverent. So there is a cultural impact on what is reverent and how we gauge something as reverence. So but there is objective boundaries. Like, I think most people would know certain things are irreverent. For example, if a priest started dropping F-bombs in his homily, I think we all know instinctively in any culture that's irreverent. If a priest is saying curse words during his homily, that's going to be irreverent. So there are objective boundaries here. And essentially what I would say is it's reverent if it fosters these feelings of deep respect, tension, awe, and veneration towards the triune God. That would be a reverent mass on a baseline. And so you see notice that reverence is an attitude. It is, somebody can be reverent in an irreverent situation. What I mean by that is I could have a reverent attitude in a situation that is not reverent. And so, but however, it's the external things in a mass foster reverence or foster irreverence. And this is classic Catholic liturgical theology, sacramental theology. There's the objective and there's the subjective. There's the internal, there's the external. We are called to at Mass to have an internal disposition towards God, to worship Him, to put ourselves at His feet, to acknowledge Him as the Creator, as everything for us, to acknowledge our own sinfulness, to acknowledge how we are not God and He is. That's all internal. And we are called to have that internal disposition. However, external factors either help or hinder that internal disposition. And so if somebody, for example, is dropping F-bombs, if the pastor's dropping F-bombs in the homily, it makes it more difficult for me and for most people, just by anybody, to have that internal disposition of reverence. And so the externals matter very much because they either help or they hinder our ability to have that true internal disposition of reverence. And so, like I said, but so we see reverence is an attitude and it is somewhat of a, it is culturally determined on some level, not completely, but on some level. Also, I think it's important to note that reverence is like on a scale. What I mean by that is some things are more reverent, some things are less reverent. Most things are not 100% irreverent, or often they're not very rarely 100% reverent, although that is possible. And obviously it's possible to be 100% irreverent. I'm thinking of something, maybe a satanic ritual or something like that, something awful. But there are degrees. So a mass, each individual mass that's said can have elements of reverence to it and elements of irreverence to it. And essentially becomes a determination, a somewhat subjective, with objective, certain objective standards of how reverent is this. Like when I decided I couldn't go to any of the masses, the regular parishes in my area when I moved, and I decided to go to a traditional Latin Mass parish, a fraternity parish, that was on some level, admittedly, a subjective determination. However, it was based upon a lot of objective standards. Now, like I said, externals matter for making a mass reverent. What are some of those externals that matter when we're talking about the holy sacrifice of the mass? Well, one is the content of the prayers.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Playlist shuffled, check.
Drinks on ice? Check. Z-Biotics? Make the most of your time with friends by starting your evening with Z-Biotics, the only pre-alcohol probiotic designed to make those rough mornings after drinking alcohol a thing of the past. Z-Biotics is key for those who live for the moment. Visit ZBiotics.com to learn more.
If the prayer is, let's say the prayers that are said are very basic and childlike, and they just say, God, you're great, thanks. And that was the prayer. Let's say that was the opening prayer at Mass, where the priest said, God, you're great, thanks. Okay, is there anything theologically wrong with that? No. God is great, and we should thank him. Does it really, though, foster reverence for God? Does it really foster worship of God? Not as well as a typical prayer you might find, for example, in a colic, you might find, for example, in the traditional Latin Mass, in the Eastern liturgy, something like that. So the content of prayers do matter. Just as one example, there's a prayer, St. Rosa Lima, on the new calendar celebrated today. It's August 23rd when we're recording this. And her prayer in the old, and her feast is next week on the 30th in the old calendar. And Matthew Hazel, who, great guy, he tracks all this stuff. He noticed the differences between the colics of the new and the old. But I just want to read the old colic for the Feast of St. Rose. It says, Almighty God, giver of all good things, who willed that St. Rose, imbued with the dew of heavenly grace, should bloom in the Indies with the beauty of virginity and patience. Grant to us, your servants, that following her sweet fragrance, we may merit to become a pleasant fragrance of Christ. I mean, I hear that, and I'm immediately thinking, man, I want to be more like St. Rosa Lima. I want to worship God. I want to follow God, be a disciple of Jesus Christ, like St. Rosa Lima is. Because I'm thinking how beautiful this. She was imbued with the dew of heavenly grace. She bloomed in the Indies with the beauty of virginity and patience. I mean, this is a beautiful prayer. And so, yes, the content of prayers does matter when it comes to how reverent a liturgy is. And this is something I think people don't, I've said it before a lot here, but I still think a lot of people don't realize this. There is a big difference in the content of the prayer said in the new Mass, the Novus Ordo, and the old Mass, the traditional Latin Mass. They're not the same. A lot of things have changed. If you want to know some of the differences, I recommend Mass of the Ages documentary, episode 2. Check that out. But the point is that there are differences. And I would argue that in most cases, the prayers became less reverent. Again, like I said, it's a scale. I'm not saying they're irreverent. They're not saying, hey, Jesus, you're my bud. Thanks, man. Or something like that. But they are less reverent. Let's just say that, than the prayers of the traditional Latin Mass. And the prayers like, for example, the Eastern Divine Liturgy, the prayers of the Ordinary Mass, things like that. So that's one thing, is the content of the prayers. That's one external that impacts the reverence of Mass. Another one is the language used. Now, I admit, I go to church Latin Mass, have for a long time. I'm not a Latin snob. I tweeted last week something about, like, I don't even know Latin very well. I still don't to this day. After going to church Latin Mass for 11 years, I still don't know declensions or anything. I've never learned Latin. I would love to learn it. I don't think I'm really capable to do it at this point. But like, we teach our kids Latin in homeschool. One of my daughters is actually, one of her majors in college is Latin. So clearly I appreciate Latin, but I'm not a huge like Latin only type of guy. What does matter though, the language of the Mass does impact the reverence level. We'll call it that, the reverence level of Mass. What I mean by that is this. Most religions realize a need for a sacral language, meaning a language that is spoken in the liturgy, in whatever the liturgy is. This is true of Judaism, Islam, Christianity, most religions. And so what you find is that the language used during the liturgy is not the same as the common language spoken by people. Now, in the case of the Latin Mass, it's actually a different language, completely different, one that we don't know, most of us don't know. But even, for example, in the Eastern liturgies, you often have something like Church Slavonic, which is an old vernacular, not really spoken. in the ordinariate mass, you have a sacral English, an Elizabethan kind of Shakespearean English that's said. And what it does is it gets the brain to kind of think differently. When you hear these prayers said in a more formal language or a sacral language, you do start thinking, wait a minute, that's right. I'm not out in the world. I'm not like at the local deli ordering a sandwich. I'm at Mass. I'm worshiping the Almighty God. And so I do think the language that's used can impact the reverence level of the Mass. And so the more a common, I know this goes very much against, of course, like I said, the liturgical movement was very much into participation, understanding by the people. But I think over time, I think everybody understands the liturgy they attend for a long time, no matter what language it's in. I understand the Latin Mass, even though I don't understand Latin. I'm not a Latin scholar or anything like that. That being said, so I do think the language affects the reverence level of the Mass. Another thing that impacts the reverence in the Mass is music, sacred music. Are you playing, I was going to use an example of some recent pop star, but I don't know any recent pop stars. Is Kanye still a thing? Jay-Z? I mean, Beyonce? Okay, that's about the most I can give you as far as my knowledge, and I don't even know if they're still active singing. But let's just say they are. You think a Beyonce song is a good song to foster reverence in the liturgy? Of course not. Likewise, do you think a 1970s folk song by, you know, David Haas or no, is it which one's Hagen? Marty Hagen or David Haas, the Hagen-Haas duo. Is that really going to be best for reverence? No. Gregorian chant? Yes. I mean, the reason that something like Gregorian chant has stayed so long and why Vatican II called for it to have a certain pride of place in the liturgy and not to be lost is because people realized it helped them increase their reverence at Mass to enter in more deeply into the mysteries of Mass. It worked basically, and over time people realized it worked, so they kept it. And so music is very important. Architecture is very important. Now, Mass can be said anywhere, validly and even reverently. A Mass said by a chaplain in the middle of a war on the back on the hood of a Jeep can be one of the most reverent Masses possible. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't try to have Mass in a more sacred location if you can. I mean, obviously, that's a situation where they can't. So the priest in Italy who said Mass while he was in the ocean on a floaty, clearly, and the people there were wearing bikinis and he was wearing his bathing trunks, he was shirtless, that's not reverent. And so the more you can have a beautiful architecture, the more it's going to lift your mind to God, and the more you're going to have ability to have reverence at the Mass. So architecture matters. So we've talked already about like the content of the prayers, the language it's the liturgy is set in, the music that accompanies it, the architecture it's set in, the rubrics. How exactly is the Mass said? Is it ad orientem or versus populum? Is it, in other words, facing the altar, leading the priest leading the people to God in prayer, or is it facing the people, more social back and forth type environment? How is communion distributed? Is it distributed on the tongue or in the hand? Is there an altar rail? What are the actions of the priest? Does he make the sign of the cross? How often does he make the sign of the cross? Does he genuflect? When does he genuflect? What is he wearing? How does he hold his hands when he's celebrating? Things like that. Each one in of itself, most of them in themselves are minor. I would argue something like ad orientem is major, but most of them are minor, but they all add up and they give a sense of reverence to the liturgy. And they help us have that internal disposition towards reverence. And so I think these are things that are all, the rubrics matter. That's another thing that matters for fostering reverence and having a high reverence level at the Mass. And also another thing I want to note is that abuses in the liturgy are by definition irreverent. Abuses by definition are irreverent. What do I mean by that? If a priest decides he's going to freestyle the prayers, for example, because he thinks these sound better, That in and of itself is irreverent. You know why? Because it puts the focus of everybody on him, not on God. And so we're not fostering this feeling of deep respect tinged with awe for God. We're not fostering a feeling of veneration towards God. We're looking to see how well Father freestyles the prayers. Likewise, if the distribution of Holy Communion is done in some way that is an abuse, or the homily, or whatever the case may be, whenever there are abuses, meaning the priest or whoever's involved, the deacon, whoever's involved in the liturgy, the servers, aren't following the rubrics, then you're going to have it. You're going to foster irreverence. And so any type of abuse is by definition irreverent. Now, one thing I want to note is, so when we talk about this idea of reverence at the Mass, I mentioned that it's a scale, that there's a scale between Masses that we realize are very reverent and Masses that we realize are very irreverent, how they're celebrated. Our standard of what is reverent has altered greatly in our society over the years. If you grabbed a Catholic in 1922, you got your Doctor Who time machine, the TARDIS. Yes, I am a geek. And no, I do not watch Doctor Who anymore because they're completely woke and stupid and garbage, and there shouldn't be a female Doctor Who. Okay, that's an aside. If you take the TARDIS and you go back to 1922, you grab a Catholic, just your average American Catholic, just somebody who goes to Mass, regular attendee, and then you dropped him into your typical suburban parish today at Mass, I guarantee you he would be shocked by the irreverence. The irreverence that surrounds him. Even in a very well-celebrated, basically what most of us would consider reverent Mass. Because he would see people there wearing shorts and flip-flops, probably. Let's say it's summer. It's warm out. He would see people receiving communion in the hand, standing. There'd be no altar rail. He'd see the priest talking to facing the people. He would see all these. He would probably be in a church that was just ugly in comparison to what he's used to in his ghetto church in the inner city. He would see so much. He would see felt banners, the music. He would just be like, what is this noise I hear? This can't actually be music, can it? All the prayers he'd hear, he'd be like, "That, what does that even say? What does that mean?" And so we have this, the kind of minimum for reverence has been lowered radically in our world. And it's outside of even Catholicism. It's in the whole world. I mean, think about it. Just for the fact that you have an example where, I was just reading about this the other day, you have an example where presidential candidates, when they're running for office, they'll get on a talk show and they'll crack jokes and they'll do a little dance, stuff like that. Somebody like Truman or Eisenhower or Kennedy would never dream of doing that because they'd think it'd be irreverent to the office of the presidency. But yet, people like, Obama, he was very well known for doing that. Bush tried to be hip and cool sometimes. Trump does his thing, which is just kind of more odd than anything. But you have my point here is that irreverence in general, or reverence, I should say, in general, has decreased in our culture, and you see it in the Mass. And so when we talk about a reverent Mass, what we mean by today is not the same thing as what a typical Catholic would have meant by it 100 years ago. And I think we need to look to ourselves and say, is it good that our standards have dropped so far? Should my standard maybe be a little bit higher than just, okay, I wasn't annoyed today at Mass? I mean, things that are common in Masses today, communion in the hand versus populum worship, altar girls, things of that, music that is just kind of bland and bleh. We take that all for granted, that it's just like, that's the normal. That's the norm. And it's very rare indeed that you find a parish, a non-TLM parish, that is, that has Mass at a standard of reverence that would be at least comparable to 100 years ago. It's very hard indeed. And so what I would say is that as Catholics, I think we need to recognize the importance of reverence. We need to recognize what it is that makes a Mass reverent. And we need to do everything we can to attend reverent Masses and to encourage our priests to say reverent Masses. And you know, yes, sometimes even call them out when they do take liberties with the Mass, with the liturgy. And I think this is very important because I do think reverence, like I said, it's not everything in the Mass, but it is essential to the Mass because it allows us to understand our place in comparison to God. It allows us to worship God fully. It's the source and summit of our faith. So we want to do it the best we can. We want to do it in the most reverent way we can. So I really would urge all of us as Catholics to realize how low our standard of reverence has dropped over the past 100 years and to really do everything we can to demand more, frankly, of our liturgies, a more reverent liturgy. Yes, I attend a traditional Latin Mass, so it's built in. But I'm talking to even all of you that attend the regular parish is Novus Ordo, the new Mass, demand a certain level of reverence in the music. You can't really probably change the architecture much, but you can make it so there's statues up instead of felt banners. You can help that. In how the rubrics are done and all these things. Receive communion on the tongue yourself. And kneeling even better. Do all these things to foster reverence in our liturgies, in our own lives. Okay, well, that's it for now. I think I'm going to close it there. Just pray for more reverence among our clergy and among our bishops at the Mass. Pray for more reverence among the laity and do everything you can to be more reverent yourself at Mass and attend reverent Masses. Okay, until next time, everybody. God love you.